Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3, for our background for the message tonight, as we shall take a look again at the future and the things that we believe the Lord would have for us in 1970. The third chapter of Joshua and the first four verses will serve as a background and basis for our message for this special occasion. We shall read these verses together after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we beseech thy blessings upon us in the hour of worship, that our hearts might be stilled before thee, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us, that the Holy Spirit might speak in words that would be clear and plain, that we might understand thy will for our lives, that we might retrace the steps that we have already made, and that we might put on shoes of iron to walk over the path that thou wouldst lead us in the coming days of this year and of this decade. We present ourselves before thee, unworthy servants, undeserving of the least of thy favors, knowing that if we had our just desert, we would long since have been in hell. We thank thee that thou hast redeemed us by thy precious blood, and thou hast given us a blessed hope that one day we shall be with him who loved us and in his own blood loosed us from our sins. As we stand again upon the threshold of this new year, we know not the avenue, we know not the way, we know not the path that we shall be called upon to travel in. But we are willing to take thee as our traveling companion and say in our own hearts, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Oh, dear God, we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would illumine our hearts and minds and cause us to rejoice because of what we have in him. Should there be those without the Savior, may they know that this service is designed for them, that they might hear the word and believe and be saved. For those who are outside the fellowship of the church, may they come and identify with this body of believers. Then, Father, for those who are disappointed in life and discouraged and disgusted with themselves, and they do not know which way to turn, help them to turn in toward thee and to turn upward and to turn onward as they walk uprightly before thee in the days ahead. Give us what our hearts need and what our souls desire from thy word is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. And with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know that the way, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now we know that the events of chapter 3 in the book of Joshua give to us the account of the successor of Moses, whom you remember God used to lead Israel out of Egypt and through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness to the plains of Moab, and from that plain, as we mentioned this morning, Moses climbed to the top of Mount Nebo, viewed the promised land, but there he died and God gave him a private funeral. And in the opening of the book of Joshua, we find the man Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, who was the man who stood by Moses and who with Caleb brought back, when they went up to view the land of Canaan, a good report. We can take that land. You know, I like men of faith, men of vision, men who are willing to say, by God's help, we can. You remember 10 of the spies said, it looks awful bad if the men up there are giants. And while we saw fellows carrying grapes on a big pole, they had to carry them one on one man's shoulder and one on another man's shoulder. And the men were like to us like giants. And we appeared as grasshoppers in their sight. We can't go, the majority said. And you know it's always been that way. If we had depended upon the majority, we would not be where we are tonight. Moses didn't depend upon the majority. Moses depended upon Joshua and Caleb and God. And God plus those two made a majority in the eyes of the man Moses, the great leader of Israel. Joshua found himself where we often find ourselves, in a crisis moment. Joshua found himself on his face before God. And as the book opens, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God moved upon Joshua to succeed Moses and to lead the people across the Jordan River and into the city of Jericho, which was the key city of the land of Canaan in Joshua's day. I look again at verse 4 of chapter 3 that we just read, the last part of it. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua and the armies of Israel were marching through new territory. It was necessary for them to follow the leadership of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was to go before them. And they were to follow after the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. You and I have begun a journey over some new territory for 1970. We have never passed this way before. It's virgin territory. It's new. It's uncharted. It's unexplored. It's untouched. It's clean before us now. And my prayer is that God will help us to make every day of 1970 count for Christ. God said through Joshua and the servants of Joshua in the nation Israel to the people, you have not passed this way before. Last Wednesday, a week ago, on the 24th of December, on Christmas Eve, it was our privilege to stand by the wall of the ancient city of Jericho, the ruins that had been excavated. We saw some of the stones that were in the walls of the city of Jericho that the Bible tells us fell down flat when Joshua and the armies of Israel marched around the city once each day for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times and blew their trumpets. The Bible says that the walls fell down flat. Now, the excavators and archaeologists have gone in And it was our privilege to see a part of the foundation deep below the surface of the walls of the city of Jericho. Our guide pointed out to us from our vantage point on a hill the plains of Jericho. Jericho is a city of palm trees. As we drove toward that site, all along the highway, not only did we see palm trees, but we saw orange groves, lemon groves, grapefruit groves, all manner of fruit and vegetation. And as we stood and looked out over the plains of Jericho, which are a part of the great Jordan Valley, we saw the traditional site where Joshua and the armies of Israel encamped for 3 days and three nights before crossing the Jordan River into the city of Jericho. Now, the land of Palestine, or the land of the Bible, has five physical divisions beginning from west to east, from the Mediterranean. The first division is, of course, the seacoast plain. And then the second region is what is called the foothills, some low-lying hills between the sea, and the third physical division, which is the mountain range with mountains up to 2,500 or 3,000 feet high. And then the fourth range or physical area or division of that land is the Jordan Valley. It begins in the north and runs 150 miles from Mount Hermon to the Dead Sea and beyond. We stood there and looked over the plains of Jericho where Joshua and his armies encamped for those 3 days before crossing the River Jordan and into the city of Jericho. And my, how our hearts were made to rejoice to know that God was leading Joshua and the armies of Israel to a victory that ultimately meant Israel would occupy the land that God had promised to them through the Abrahamic covenant. For God said to Abraham, look north and south and east and west, and this land is yours and your seed after you. So we stood there. We could not hold back the tears as we saw the ruins of that ancient city. We could all but hear the trumpets of the men of Israel as they blew them, and the crushing of the walls and the shouting of the people as they took the key city of the land of Canaan. But remember, Joshua said to them, you've not passed this way before. This is a new territory. You've come out of Egypt. You've come through the wilderness. You've survived 40 years of wandering. But this is a new path. You've not passed this way before. And so you must keep your eyes upon the Lord. Watch the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of God with Israel. They must keep their eyes upon the Lord as they cross the new and uncharted territory of the plains of the Jordan, cross the river, and into the city of Jericho. I say again, we have begun a new journey. We have not passed this way before. So my message tonight is simply a journey over Highway 70. Whatever else we have to make our journey, we must have the leadership of the Lord. However equipped we are, or whatever equipment we lack, there's one thing that must be in our lives, and that is a dependence upon God. Every step that we take, every move that we make, every breath that we breathe, we must acknowledge that God is leading. And as God had a man in the person of Joshua to lead that congregation across the Jordan River and into the land of Canaan, I unworthily submit to you that God in the person of your pastor has an under-shepherd to lead you and to guide you under the leadership and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit across our plain of Jordan, across our Jordan River, to enter into the land that God has for us to enjoy, a land of milk and honey for 1970. I believe God wants the best for us. What a fertile valley. We saw the beautiful vegetation, poinsettias that big, just blossoming, growing everywhere. Grapefruit, oranges, all manner of fruits in that rich and fertile plain of the Jordan Valley and the plains of Jericho. It was a new territory for Joshua, so we have a new territory for our day. We must follow in the path that the Holy Spirit lays out for us. Now, I'm convinced of this, that God always leads His children in the right path. Remember, the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." I believe God is with us tonight. God was with Israel in the wilderness. And as they began that wilderness journey, you remember God said, every day there is going to be a pillar of cloud in the sky. When that cloud moves, you move. When that cloud stops, you stop. And every night there will be a pillar of fire. And when that fire moves at night, you move. And when that fire stops, you stop. Well, God has given us a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And God is leading us by the Holy Spirit through the inspiration of the Scriptures over the path of duty that He wants us to follow. I still believe that God has a pillar of cloud over His people by day and a pillar of fire by night. On Christmas Day, it was our privilege to be in the city of Haifa, the leading seaport of the land of Israel. We stood some 17 feet above sea level and looked down at the city of Haifa and the beautiful blue Mediterranean. It was as clear that day as any day you've ever seen. And the waters were so blue you could see, it seemed, almost all the way across the Mediterranean Sea. That was on Christmas Day. I believe, if my chronology is right, that it was on that morning that 5 gunboats headed out of their dock and into the Mediterranean to anchor and docked at the port of Haifa, the leading port of the land of Israel. But what happened? Now here's what I'm getting to. I believe with all of my heart that God is leading Israel in waging the war that they're engaged in against the Arab nations. And this didn't begin in 1967. It didn't begin in 1956. It didn't begin in 1948. Interestingly enough, our tour guide fought in all three of those wars. In 48, in 56, and in 67. But this conflict between Israel and the Arab nations began back in the household and tent of Abraham with Ishmael and Isaac. And it continues today. And God said to Abraham, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." And He said Ishmael would be like a wild man. His hand would be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he would serve Israel or Isaac. And God is bringing that to pass. Now I'm saying about the pillar of cloud. Heavy fog settled over the Mediterranean. And a cloud that I believe God put there to bring those boats, 5 gunboats capable of carrying nuclear missiles, into the port of Haifa. Just a day or two before that, it was absolutely clear. You could have picked off any boat, any ship on the Mediterranean with your naked eye. But God put a cloud and a fog over them and led them safely into the port of Haifa. I believe that with all of my heart. For God still leads His children. Amen. On December the 26th, something that is unheard of in modern warfare took place. With helicopters, the Israeli soldiers dismantled an Arab radar installation, the only one in the free world, and brought it out of Egypt by helicopter and put it over in the land of Israel. God is still God is still leading his people. I shall never forget the gleam in that old man's eye as we were approaching the airport at Tel Aviv when he said, "This is our fatherland. This is the land that God has given us." And he said, "I'm 71 years old, but I'm willing now to take up arms and to fight and to give my life for this land because it's ours." In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the cool waters bathe the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. God's still using the pillar of cloud to lead Israel to ultimate victory and to fulfill his promise to Abraham that this is your land and your seeds after you. They passed over some new territory. You and I are to pass over some new territory along the highway that we call 70. I don't know what this year is going to bring. It may bring sorrow to our hearts. It is the year that's closed has brought sorrow to the hearts of many of our families in the closing days of the year. The Carter family, the McCash family, the Curry family, as the old year ended and the new year began, sorrow came to these hearts and to these families. But you know, wherever there is sorrow, the God of all comfort is at hand. Amen. For he sustains us in the hour of sorrow. So if the highway of 1970 leads you and your family down the path of sorrow to yonder's grave to plant beneath the mother earth a dear loved one, don't ever forget the God of all comfort is there to cheer you and to sustain you in your darkest hour. The highway of 1970 may bring you into a time of tremendous sacrifice. But we must expect this. For after all, did not Jesus say, "If any man will be my disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me"? This is a way of sacrifice. But if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. There is no sacrifice too great for us to pay. There is no price that's too high for us to pay. As we stood in the garden tomb and looked at that ugly place called the place of a skull, Golgotha in the Hebrew, I thought, what a little price. How little suffering that we've done in comparison to the sufferings of the Savior on Calvary's Hill. If 1970 calls upon you to sacrifice, be willing to pay the price. Not knowing what 1970 will bring, nor the paths that we will be called upon to walk in, nor the hills that we must climb, nor the valleys that we must go through, I can assure you of one thing. Highway 70 is a secure highway in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's safety and there's security every step of the way. We are going to have the victory in 1970 because we have a written guarantee that God is with us. How do I know that we are going to be victorious? How do I know that we are going to be secure? I know it because we have an eternal high priest in the heavens who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So when we come to the hour of our sorrow, he sympathizes with us. When we come to the hour of temptation, he sympathizes with us. When we come to the moments of sacrifice, he sympathizes, he identifies with us. That's why I know that whatever else 70 might bring and whatever else the highway might hold for us, it is safe and it is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it because we have a daily companion. You remember when Jesus went away? He led the disciples out to the Mount of Olives. We stood near the place, the traditional place where Jesus stood and said to his disciples, I want you now to take my gospel into all the world. And before Jesus went away, you remember he said, I will not leave you comfortless. It is necessary, it is expedient that I go. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send the Comforter to you. And when the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, is come, he will teach you all things. We have a daily companion. We have the Advocate who goes along with us every day over the uneven pathway of life. A daily companion in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then not only that, we have a roadmap. Though we do not have a chart of this year and we do not know what it's going to bring or where it's going to take us, we have a roadmap that points the way, the Word of God. The Word of God that's eternally settled in the heavens. It has marked out for us our path from heaven to earth. And so as we travel along this highway, whatever comes, we're ready for it. I say again, if 1970 brings life, we are ready to live because Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If 1970 brings death, we are ready to die because we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If 1970 brings the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are ready to meet him in the air. For unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation. If Christians are any kind of people in the world, they are a prepared people. A prepared people for a prepared place. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That might be what will happen in 1970. Whatever it is, though, if we find ourselves in poverty or wealth, in sickness or health, in life or death, we can say with Paul, in whatever state I find myself, I have learned to be content. We can say with the apostle, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. So if Jesus goes with us in 1970, and he has promised never, 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 never to leave us nor forsake us, if he goes with us, we are ready to go anywhere. Now in your own life, you're making plans for 1970. You have some objectives, some goals in mind. You've already made some resolutions. I trust that every plan you lay and every objective you have and every fond dream that you have for 1970 will be overshadowed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that you and I in this year as we travel over the highway of 70 will acknowledge God in all things. What about the highway? Only God knows. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. I challenge you tonight to live every day depending upon God. For the promise is this, as our days are, so shall our strength be. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for these moments in thy word. We thank thee that thou hast given us the assurance that wherever Highway 70 leads us, however high the hill, however deep the valley, however excruciating the pain, thou hast promised never to leave us nor forsake us. As we began this Highway of 70, having already traveled 4 miles on it, may we make every mile count for Christ. May we have erected along the highway the billboards that would point us to thee, the constant reminder that thou art the great shepherd and we are the sheep of thy pasture. Feed us this year. Lead us this year. Undergird us this year. Help us to be daring and help us to be bold and help us to be confident and help us to have faith to tear down the walls of Jericho, to cross over the Jordans, to cross over the Red Seas, to move through the valleys and across the hills to that ultimate victory where we know that if we keep following and keep marching and keep walking in the steps of the Savior, they will lead us to thy throne. In 1970, Heavenly Father, help us to walk in paths of righteousness, boldly, unashamedly, without apology, without hesitation, without reservation. Help us this night, right now, to get a new leash on this whole business and say, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And say, Heavenly Father, if we're called upon to go through a valley of sorrow, we will depend upon thee. If we must die, we won't have to cross that river of death alone. If Jesus comes, help us to be ready to meet him. If Jesus tarries his coming, Heavenly Father, help us to stretch out our place of abode. Help us to take in the strangers, the lonely, the weary, the weak, the sick, the underprivileged, the poor, the unsaved. Help us to give them shelter and food and clothing. Help us to enlarge our facilities this year to take care of more people. Give us faith to envision a greater auditorium and a greater facility and more souls and more missionaries around the world. May we launch out by faith in Highway 70 and take Jesus at his word and put our hand in the nail-scarred hand and follow him every step of the way. And Heavenly Father, if there are those tonight who have never trusted him, may they come to know him. If there are those who need a restatement of their faith and of their ambition and of their devotion and of their objective for 1970, may they come and find sweet peace at the altar. For those who need to come into the fellowship of the church, may they come. Whatever the needs are in the beginning of this year, may we set the pace today that will lead us to every tomorrow, claiming the promise that as our days are, so shall our strength be. And help us to know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.